Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, December 23rd, 2023. I am your host, Andy Vaughan, and with me, as always, is Joey Slenzak. How you doing, Joey?
Hey, Andy. Great to see you again this week. Just keeping things going, yeah.
Great to have you here too. And joining myself and Joey today, we have the softly spoken Gordon McLaren. How you doing, Gordo?
How are we doing, everyone? No, I'm well. I'm very well. I'm well rested after a good 4 week break there, like a mini summer. Except we don't actually go away in the summer anymore. We just find new leagues to get involved in.
Exactly. Yeah. Although the Japanese league, I don't know if you saw the announcement 2 days ago, in the 26-27 season, they will be moving to an August through May football calendar. Instead of what they currently do, which is very similar to the MLB baseball season, and they have summer football. Not anymore. Well, not from 2026.
That is a bit crushing for you personally.
I know.
Because, like, by the time United's title challenge has died, Urawa will have also fucked their chances at winning the league. So you'll have, like, both of them. You won't have it spread out anymore. It'll be more like a kind of like
I can enjoy summer. I'll go and play golf, maybe if I've got the time. It'll be lovely. But it's great to have you back, Gordon. It was just a little bit of fun at the top of the show there. Regular listeners will know Gordo is on basically every show, apart from the last four or five, because he's been out in Australia on his honeymoon. I don't know. He's exploring the sights. What did you get up to?
I did a lot of surfing, a lot of snorkeling, drove a lot of kilometers. None of those miles over there. But yeah, it was pretty dynamite. I was just talking to Joey about, like, in Melbourne, they've just built a brand new, they've renamed one of the stadiums the Marvel Stadium. Like, kind of the Avengers-style Marvel Stadium.
Iron Man stuff.
Yeah. Right. So we're talking about who actually plays in it, and it's the most mental multi-use stadium. It's like AFL, rugby, cricket. The ladies for Melbourne all play in this one stadium. But like, I definitely switched to that. It's incredible. It's like right on the Docklands. But yeah, didn't actually watched quite a lot of. I listened to all the podcasts back to back on the flight home. So I got the highs and lows of your 7 of 8 week.
Well, that was good. Yeah,
and the lows of the non 7 of 8 weeks.
Yeah, we had a mixed bag in there, but good to have you back. And yeah, back to the three-man show format, just for Christmas, but also every other week after Christmas. But it's nice that it's happened before Christmas. Hello to everyone watching the show on Patreon. We'll do a wee plug before the break for Patreon, but of course you get the video content, so you get to see the three of us and me resplendent in my brand new 2023 Dundee United Christmas jumper. Like that, like the hexagons there. The presents, the Santas, the United crest, the line rampant. It's all on the go here.
I mean, you're doing a fab job for the Dundee United store. sorely needed. But yeah, you would be able to see that. You'll be able to see Joey in his lovely get-up as well. I mean, we are all in tangerine green or black.
We've coordinated this very, very well. In support as well, that lovely his charge at the World Championships this year. Good luck, Barney. Well, before we crack on to the show, we all want to hear the betting tips for this weekend. But before that, of course, we'll recap last week, how we got on there. Another mixed bag, but pretty decent overall. My banker, it came in because, you know, I put these bets on at Bet365. It was Man City against Crystal Palace. So you got paid out when Man City took a 2-0 lead in the 54th minute. But our co-host Jerome will be delighted, hardcore Crystal Palace fan, the fact they actually came back in stoppage time to draw this 2-2. So the bookies paid out in the win. That was all well and good. But Man City didn't win the game. Palace got a point.
Yeah, and in my banker, we had Wrexham to win, just shy of 1-2, and it was looking great. They scored in the first minute, or in the first 5 minutes, to go up 1-0, but then they had a red card in the first half. Ultimately grabbed a second-half goal to go up 2-0, and then saw things out and finished 2-1. So I'm glad that wasn't quite as stressful as I was expecting it to be after that red card. That could have gone definitely wrong.
Worked out just fine in the at least the 365 anyway. The banker double paid out. On to the value picks. Now, I really fancied St Mirren at home tomorrow here. The bet did not come in at even money, which was a shame. It was a 0-0 draw. St Mirren had more shots, they had more possession, and they missed the second half penalty. I feel a wee bit aggrieved at this one that it should have come in and it didn't.
I backed St Mirren.
Yeah, I'll.
I think a lot of people backed St Mirren in this because it just looked really good. And they had the chances. They had a penalty, for God's sake. Like, they should have won the game. Didn't. Sports betting, eh?
Them's the break.
Yeah, that's the way she goes. And similarly, my value pick was a little heartbreaking as well. I had Westerlo, both teams are scoring over 2.5. And this actually finished 2-0 to Westerlo. But my boys, Oupin, however you want to pronounce them. They had 15 shot attempts, 7 of which were on target, and they created 1.1 XG. The fact that they weren't able to score against one of the leakier defenses in the league is definitely frustrating.
Yeah, a couple of frustrating value picks there, but we were very, very close on both. Just one goal in each game that, by the stats, they should have got and didn't. So not too disappointed with that. We're on the right side of them for sure. On to the outsiders then, and my outsider was a f***ing 9-2 away shot, and it went exactly as I predicted, on the nose. Dundee United 0, Raith Rovers 1, so backing against my own team as home favourites, top of the league home favourites against second place. It just went exactly as I expected. Raith pressed Dundee United. We can't deal with it. We have one game plan. We're unable to create anything of note as a result. Raith had more shots on target. They scored a very good goal on the hour mark, and we had nothing when it came to trying to reply. They just shut up shop and saw the game out. So a win for Raith Rovers 1-0, and my outsider came in at over 4-1, 9-2.
It was a very, very good shout. And did you see Raith's Twitter post about the game, which was just very funny? Like, after they posted the updated league table, which obviously shows...
They're 5 points ahead now. We've got a game in hand, Raith, but they're 5 points ahead.
Raith, Dundee United, Partick, I think, mm-hmm. are in third. And then Dunfermline, who they blurred out in fourth. Just because they fucking hate Dunfermline.
Oh, I love that. So sorry. It is
just wonderful. Like the top four removed.
Tremendous. But yeah, Joey, how'd your outsider get on?
Yeah, my outsider looked really good on paper. I had RWD Molenbeek versus St. Truiden. And I like to draw on that one. Great form for it. And then Molenbeek ran out 3-0 winners. Couple goals in the first half, goal in the second half. It was pretty much done and dusted. St. Truiden are definitely not going to be the team to go out and put up three, four goals away from home. So once they went up 3-0, that was pretty much that.
Yeah. But hey, on to the charity picks then. And we did get the previous 2 weeks running charity bets in. I let it down this week. Kilmarnock away at Livingston, 6-5 for the away win. And this was another 0-0 and another frustrating goalless draw. Kelly, more possession, more shots on target. Didn't win the game. Although it does seem they got a little lucky because Livy missed a penalty in the second half of this one. So, yeah, another 0-0. Really close for me for an excellent week, but a couple of 0-0s in there have taken the shine off it. Although with the outsider win, more than made up for it.
All right. Yeah, my charity portion, or my portion of the charity double, though, did come in. I had Everton away to Burnley, and this was paid out in 25 minutes. Everton went up 2-0 after Andre Onana. I'm thinking of my dear United. Amadou Onana, and then Michael Keane. They two first half goals, and then they ran out 2-0 winners. They just saw it out. There really wasn't too much from Burnley. Had some chances. They created 0.8 XG, but really not too much. Not too much there. That's about to be expected.
Did you see? I was just going to say Garth Crooks does a team of the week every week, and they're always so unhinged. Like, people slate them constantly. Like, he never plays anyone in the right position. Like, and he just has like people just continually sweating, like playing Phil Foden as like left back, or like none of the players scored last week that he picked. Like, they basically had all this stuff in here, right? But he had Amadou and Man United's Onana in there as well. And the top comment was, are we sure both? Because it just says Onana. He's like, are we sure which Onana's in which position in his team? Just like, playing the big man in midfield. But yeah, it sounded like he ran it close all week.
We did. It was a good week overall, but it could have been really, really good. And it was a shame not to hit 3 weeks in a row for charity. That was unfortunate. But hey, it'll be a bigger charity bet this week, what with it being a treble rather than a double. Just a reminder, listeners, we do have a Facebook group as well. Just search Trampled Bet Podcast. Come and join in the chat there. I had an 18-1 winner in the Facebook group live and play this week in the darts with Manlock Leung beating Gian Van Veen. He was 10-1 pre-game, and then 9-1 when it started. So I just put it up in the Facebook group, and I know a couple of guys got on it and made significant sums. So it's always nice when something like that happens. Obviously, the darts is going to be on all throughout Christmas and New Year. And rather than put it on a weekly show like the podcast, if anyone sees a good pick or I think there's something particularly good in there, I'll stick it in the Facebook group. So do search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook and join up. We also have a Patreon channel where you can give something back to the show in the form of £6 a month, but you get a whole lot of stuff in return. So already mentioned, you get to see all of us on video as we record this. It also gets released as soon as we record it, so you don't have to wait for the podcast to come out on all the normal channels on a Thursday. You'll get it on Wednesday night, which is lovely. And you also get the cheat sheet. That's all the picks from the podcast written down in a handy JPEG format. You can just pull it up on the phone app or log on to the Patreon website. We really appreciate all the patrons. We'd love some more. And we're about to go to another special Patreon, but the midsection where we talk about picks that we liked for the weekend that didn't quite make the final cut of the show. So if you're listening to the podcast, we're about to head to an ad break. Patrons, we'll see you in the midsection. Catch you after the break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, December 23rd, 2023. We have Gordo back. So, woo. Three picks. A pick from each of us for bankers, values, outsiders, and then we'll round the show out with a pick each for a charity treble. Tenner of our own money goes on that, and it'll be Gordon's, considering I've been backing them all forever, for ages now, because he's been swanning about, interfering with koalas. Presume that's what you did. I don't know.
I did hold one.
Allegedly.
They are very soft.
Interfering with koalas. What a phrase.
Full of chlamydia, koala bears.
I have heard that. Yes.
That was yeah. Part of the thing they were talking about. It was in fact, that was the one of the most interesting parts of the honeymoon, was the fact that the two people doing the koala experience were me and the relief pitcher for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Started in the World Series. So it was, I can't remember the fella's name. I'd have to look him up here again. Because he's like It's a relief pitcher. He's a relief pitcher for a team that I'm not that interested in. So he doesn't have any fantasy value to me. And he also, the Marlins don't play the Diamondbacks constantly. So it's not as if I'd be seeing him all the time. But yeah, Joey, I forgot to mention this to you. Basically, during this qual experience, I was like, that guy looks really familiar. And he had the World Series hat on. And then I text the boys. I was like, here, I think I'm sitting beside, I think it's Romero or whatever his name was. Anyway, it turned out it was this fella. Lovely guy. But yeah, during the quality presentation, I spent most of it being like, it's this player.
and apparently the chlamydia fact was the only thing that registered during that entire presentation.
Yeah, apart from him. Yeah. So Andy, take us to the banker, mate. I don't have much more to contribute to
this. Let's go to that. So I'm just pouring myself a glass of a Christmas glass of wine before we get here. You know, people have New Year's resolutions. I like to do it before New Year. I've been drinking at least a bottle of wine a night for the last week. This is my sort of thing.
Are you basically big turning day yourself into like I don't know, pickle essentially.
Oh, so I can fully detox in January.
Oh right, okay, yeah. Obviously. I believe the term is rattling as opposed to detox.
Gotta make use of this annual leave. You need, you know, gotta go hard at it over the Christmas period. You can't turn into that cold. You need to ramp up to it.
All right, okay. This is like a training regimen.
Cheers, then.
Yeah, cheers. You don't just go throwing 90 straight out the gates, Gordo. You know, you have to do some soft toss first. So that's what this is for.
Perfect. Good to hear.
Here we go. Into the picks. This is what the people want to hear. I am in the English Premier League on Friday evening at 8 p.m. for the televised game between Aston Villa and Sheffield United for my banker. The home win for Villa here is a stick-on and it's 1-5. They're absolutely flying in the league this season. They actually have a chance. So if they win this game, they'll go top of the Premier League, albeit probably for a short period of time as the rest play catch-up over the weekend. But top of the league if they win this game. They've got 38 points from 17 games. They're only 1 point behind Arsenal. Sheffield United, on the other hand, dead last in the league, 20th spot. They've taken only 8 points all season from 17 matches, scored 12 goals, but conceded 43. Like that is an inordinate number. Like that is so many goals they've conceded, like the most in the league by a country mile. Form wise, Aston Villa's top of the league's 5-game form table. They've taken 13 points from the last 5 matches, and that's included matches against Arsenal, Tottenham and Man City. So they are doing it against the very best English Premier League have to offer. Sheffield United, they've only managed 3 points from their last 5 games. They've scored twice and conceded 12. They are leaking everywhere. Villa are great just now. This is a Villa win all day. Right, it's 1-5. It's a banker. Just put it on all your coupons. It'll come in.
Yeah. Nice one. Yeah, I'd looked at Villa in there, but had already found my banker at that point. And yeah, let's talk about it. So I am in Italy. This is a Friday night, which all good bankers should be, with the potential to ruin the entire weekend immediately. Before it's even got off. I am in Italy on Friday night. This is AC Milan away at Salernitana. And consider Salernitana in this spot here, Andy, to be almost the exact same as Sheffield United. They have taken 8 points this season. They have played 16 games. They've scored 12 and they conceded 34. This is a league where everyone wins 1-0.
So 34 goals is impressive there.
It is very impressive. So AC Milan have been really good here. They're in third place. They're miles behind Inter for winning the league here. But they're kind of in a transitional year here where they've got a lot of young guys coming through. They've got Pulisic, who's been really good for them, as Joey will attest to. He's finally cracked a bit of form. And they've been good of recent. They beat Newcastle away in the Champions League to ensure that they got through. Last weekend, they beat Monza, who are a better team than Salernitana, 3-0 at home. Salernitana's form is pish. You know, they've lost 4-1 to Atalanta. They lost 2-1 to Bologna. They lost 3-0 to Salernitana. They had a really lucky win over Lazio, where they scored very late and Lazio completely lost the head after going up 1-0. But yeah, I just think AC Milan have got way enough to beat Salernitana. And at 2-5, it's an excellent price to get them to do so. Mm-hmm. So I'll be on AC. Joey, where is your Sheffield United / Salernitana you're backing against?
Yeah, no, that's later in the show. I put that in the most important slot. Yeah, the charioteer, in case anyone was curious. My banker this week is going to be in England, the championship, and I'm looking at Leeds versus Ipswich, and I like both teams to score at just shy of 3-5, kind of around like that 1.57-ish mark. So that's going to be on Saturday at 12:30 p.m. And we've got a top three battle with third place Leeds hosting second place Ipswich. And so this should be a pretty entertaining match with both sides boasting top five offenses in terms of goals scored. And Ipswich are actually leading the league in goals scored with, I think it's 46, just shy of 45 goals. And so Leeds have been solid at home so far, but they've struggled keeping clean sheets with both teams to score in 9 of their 12 home matches and 6 of their last 9 overall. Ipswich have scored in 25 of 26 competitive matches, which is how you get to the leading highest offense in the league, the most goals scored. And they've seen both teams to score in 9 of their last 11 matches overall and 4 of their last 7 away matches. The reverse fixture earlier in the season was a 4-3 Leeds win at Portman Road. And these sides are both more than capable of blowing this wide open, given the current form they're in. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's 2-1, 2-2, more than 3 goals, but we'll get 1-1 at the very least. And I think 1.57 is a great shout.
0.07 over my rule. I can't believe it's been flaunted. In the last 4 weeks, you've just been allowed to do this.
But I got to push the rules as much
as long as it comes in. As long as it comes in.
As long as it comes in.
And if it doesn't,
to
Gordon,
be fair,
you can,
I would.
You can
to be fair, Gordon, I was actually looking at. I was looking at a banker potentially 3-5, maybe a little higher, depending on where it drifted. But we ended up left that in the outsider slot, so I kept it within reason.
There we go then. So the banker treble this week, if you fancied it, is wins for Aston Villa and AC Milan and both teams to score in the matchup between Leeds United and Ipswich Town. 1.64-1. So over even money, over 6-4 for the treble. Okay, on to the value picks then. And mine has significantly gone up in price in the last few hours. And I don't know why. So I don't know if there's big news here that's changed the price so much, but this was 4-6 earlier in the day and now it's 21-20. So
that's a bit of a move.
That is a significant uptick in price, but I still like it anyway. Maybe check why this is. Friday, 7:45 PM in the Scottish Championship for Raith Rovers versus Ayr United. Raith Rovers just keep on winning. They were my outsider last week against then top of the table Dundee United and they won. So they're now top of the championship with 39 points from 16 games. Ayr are back in sixth place with 17 points from 15 games. Raith, a perfect 15 points from the last 5 league matches, so obviously top of that league's form table. Ayr have managed 5 points in that spell. Raith also lead the way in terms of home game form. They've taken 17 points from 7 home matches. They're gritty. They score goals. They win football matches. They win football matches by leading from the front, and they win football matches coming from behind. The momentum they've built up doesn't look like it's going to stop anytime soon. I reckon they're a stick on here. It's a really mediocre run-of-the-mill Ayr United team. And you will get Raith at 21-20, which is ridiculous that they're bigger than even money.
He recently revived 21-20 from 4-6.
Up from 4-6. This was 4-6 earlier today when I was writing the write up, and I liked it at 4-6. So I absolutely love it at 21-20.
Okey dokey. That's fine then. If anyone finds out if there's a bug in the Raith camp.
I might find out tomorrow morning and might need to put loads of comments under the Patreon post, the Facebook post, and stuff like that. They've all got COVID.
Half the team's going to be out.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll still be Ayr.
Yeah, they probably will, actually. For my value, then, I'll be taking us to the English Premier League. So it's just not a league I'm often in outside of backing City as a banker. And I'm going to be taking Bournemouth away at Nottingham Forest. And you'll get the nice odds of 17-11 for the potential for a Bournemouth away win here. Forest are so bad that they've just sacked their manager. Steve Cooper is out at this point.
They've also just appointed one about 3 hours ago.
Who have they brought in? Because I don't have a write-up on that. Who is?
Nuno Espirito Santo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really? Back from a stint out in Saudi Arabia. Obviously, very successful as Wolves manager, took them into a European campaign. Did they finish runner-up or made the semi-finals of the UEFA competition?
I think it would have been an FA Cup qualification or something like that.
But he's, he's done. I mean, will that give them a boost? New manager bounce here, Gordo, do you think? Or Jing Bournemouth are just too good and he'll come in first game untested and be like, and really realise, shit, this is what this job entails, keeping this team in the Premier League.
Well, let me take you through Bournemouth's last five results. A 3-0 away win at Man United. A 2-0 away win at Crystal Palace. Drawing 2 each with Villa, who we have covered, are flying. A 3-1 win over Sheffield United and a 2-0 win over Newcastle. Now, that's enough for me in those last five fixtures to take a stab at them, playing away from home against, actually, the worst form team in the league. Not even Sheffield United are as bad as Nottingham Forest over the last 5 games.
They've got 3 points over the last 5 games, Sheffield United.
One point for Nottingham Forest over the last 5 in there. So, scored 3, conceded 12. You're right, there may be a new manager bounce that happens on the back of this, but that's the reason you'll be getting Bournemouth. It's went up in price since I backed them in there, because they'll be pricing in that kind of stuff because it's not Cooper that's doing it anymore. So you'll get them at, most recent odds, 17-11 to win this game, which is quite
31-20. 31-20 at 365, so better than 6-4. That's a big price. Big price.
Yeah.
So big.
Joey, what controversial pick that's randomly shifted in price over the last 5 hours do you have for your value shot?
Yeah, I'm hoping my value is a little less controversial. I mean, to be fair, Gordo, we'll see what Matt Halsall has to say in the Facebook group about that Forest pick. How that went last week with Callum and Killy. Maybe they might know more than we do, but hopefully in this case, we're on top of that ahead of that. But no, I'll still be in England for my value shout. I'll be in the championship still, and I'm looking at Plymouth Argyle against Birmingham. And sticking with goals, I like both teams to score.
Green Army!
Green Army!
Yeah.
And so you can get that just shy of even money, about 1.95-ish. So that's on Saturday at 3 p.m. And we've got a proper mid-table battle. And while I'm expecting Plymouth to win this, and I was actually looking at them potentially as my value shout, them to win outright, it won't be without conceding chances. And I think both teams are scoring over 2.5 is the best way to tackle this one. Plymouth have seen both teams are scoring over 2.5 in 5 of their last 9 overall and 5 of their last 8 home matches. While Birmingham have seen both teams scoring over 2.5 in 6 of their last 9 overall and 3 of their last 5 away matches. So the big variable here is Rooney as a manager. And he has not been great so far. He's had 7 losses in his first 11 matches in charge, but there has been a recent uptick in form, picking up 7 points in the last 6 matches compared to 1 point in their first 5 matches. Which is a little better. And part of that is they're kind of starting to get that offense ticking a little bit, starting to figure things out. I think they have some defensive injuries and absences, which have kind of led to said form, more so than Rooney's tactics. Maybe I'm being a little too optimistic, but I'm sure we'll have some comments in the Facebook group on that. But Plymouth have actually scored 2+ goals in 7 of their last 9 home matches. But they've only had 3 clean sheets in those 9 home matches. And after watching Birmingham versus Leicester on Tuesday, Birmingham really created plenty of chances. And this was against a Leicester side that had not conceded 2 goals to a single team the entire season. And they ended up losing 3-2. Granted, there were some fortunate breaks. But ultimately, Birmingham just really vulnerable on the counter. And so I think Plymouth can capitalize on that. And so if Birmingham do decide to really push for this and kind of flex their muscle a little bit, this could be a very wide open match. And I'd expect two, maybe three from Plymouth. And then it would just come down to like a consolation goal kind of thing for Birmingham. But I think it should be pretty evenly matched. And both sides are conceding 30 plus goals through 22 matches. So it's not like this is an elite defensive matchup. This is just going to be who can finish the chances.
Hopefully both of them and lots. That's what we're after. So a value treble this week then. A home win for Raith Rovers against Ayr United, an away win for Bournemouth in Nottingham Forest, and over 2.5 goals in both teams to score in the match between Plymouth and Birmingham. Works out on Bet365 at 9.2-1. So a tenner into over 100 quid if you fancied that. That's what I'll be taking. Okay, on to the outsiders. I have a big outsider this week. It's not as big as the 9-2 shot last week. But hopefully we can get this one in at 3-1. And I'm looking for a draw on Sunday at 1 p.m. in the English Premier League. It's not been the Premiership for years and years. Between Wolves and Chelsea. The teams are only separated by 3 points in the league. Chelsea in 10th place with 22 points. Wolves in 13th with 19 points. Form-wise, the teams are also pretty equally matched. Chelsea have taken 6 points from the last 5 league fixtures. Wolves have taken 4. Wolves have managed 12 points at home this season. Chelsea have picked up 10 on the road. Of Wolves' last 5 home games, 3 of them have been draws. That's against Forest, Newcastle, and Aston Villa. Obviously, Newcastle and Villa, pretty good form right now. So they're capable of making it difficult for the good teams at Molineux. Of the last 5 times the sides have met, 3 of those games have ended in a draw. I think this one will most likely also be a draw, and you get 3-1 for it. So that's quite a decent price.
Nice. Well, a similar pick from me, but I get to have a Shakespeare intro, which is In Fair Verona, where we lay our scene. This is a draw I'll be backing in the Italian Serie A between Verona and Cagliari.
I think you may have overestimated our listenership there, Gordo.
I mean, not really, because I did it in standard grade English. So, I mean, I don't know if anyone's going to be on that line. But yeah, so I really like a draw. And I'm sure I've backed this game as a draw before. I've tried to go back and find, like, if there was a cheat sheet by Control F and going into the Patreon to try and find Verona in there to see the last time I'd backed them. But I couldn't see it. And so I really fancy a draw between two teams, right, scrapping it out in the relegation places. In the Sierra. So this is Verona and Cagliari. Verona, 19th place, 16 games played, 11 points. Cagliari, 16 games played, 13 points taken. They're both not very good. Verona over the last few games, though, have been drawing. So they had a 1-0, they'd won each with Lazio 2 weeks ago. They'd 3 each with Udinese 3 weeks ago, and the 2 each with Lecce 4 weeks ago in there. Cagliari's form has been kind of odd in there. They're not losing games by more than one goal. They're not winning games by more than one goal. They've had 2-1, with the one exception of when they played a mid-season friendly against Nuorese, who are in the Italian Serie D, and won 9-0. But I feel that's a bit punching down and is not really that relevant to this game. Interestingly enough, and this is really why I like this game as a draw, these two teams play each other quite a lot. When Verona play at home against them, if you go back to 1999 was the last time that there was more than a goal in it. So it's always 0-0. The last two games, the last two iterations when Verona played at home were 0-0 and 1-1 in here. You've had quite a lot of Verona wins in there with 2-1. 1-0, 1-0, 2-1, 1-2 when Cagliari was it. This is 2004 we're going back to now. It's a game that doesn't lend itself to just massive amounts of kind of difference between the teams. I think it's going to be a draw. You'll get the draw in here at 94.
All right. Yeah, that's, I mean, Gordo and his draws. I'm
glad that I had these back and draws in here. I was hoping that you were going to be coming in with a draw, Joey. So I'll hear what you've got.
Yeah, so spoiling the surprise, I am not completing the draw, Trixie. The books might want me to, but I'm going to be smarter than the books this week. Probably not, but well, hopefully. Here's hoping. My outsider this week is going to be Melbourne Victory to win, but not just to win, win plus both teams to score, and you can get that at 4.6-ish. So just over 7-2.
Is this a Melbourne derby? Saturday.
If you'd let me get to that point, yes.
If you'd let him get Melbourne to derby. I'd imagine that's where the goals are coming from, Andrew.
This is on Saturday at 8:45. And yes, Andy, this is a Melbourne derby. And so this is going to be a gut play on based on how these sides have started the season. And I personally don't think that Melbourne Victory versus City, I don't think Victory should be underdogs in this spot. Given current form, I think we can sneak some value thrown in both teams to score, because at the end of the day, this is Australia. And why else would we be in Australia but for goal? So Melbourne Victory have seen both teams to score in 6 of their last 7 league matches, while City have seen both teams to score in 5 of their last 7 matches overall, including the AFC Champions League, as well as 4 of their 6 home matches this season. So that's kind of where that angle is coming into play here. But Victory are actually the only unbeaten team through 8 matches this season. And granted, yes, it's 8 matches. I get it. But there's only 2 other teams that have had just 1 loss. So they're clearly in an upper echelon. And given the fact that they've drawn 4 of those 8 matches, circling back to the beginning, I understand why this is priced so closely. And so the books are kind of leaning towards a draw. But ultimately, Victory are just a much more complete side than City. And they've only trailed 3 times this season, while City have conceded 3 goals in each of their last 2 home league matches. And in both of those matches, those home matches, Melbourne City, they trailed 3-1 and were able to claw their way back with some stoppage time goals. This Victory side is way too good to let that happen. I think this is going to be a bigger test and an improvement in the competition that they're playing, which kind of leads into why they've been drawing so many matches and being able to come back in so many matches for Melbourne City. And in looking at those draws for Melbourne Victory as well, one of which at home was hurt by a red card. They were 1-1 at halftime. They got a red card, so that kind of nixed any chances of going for that win. And then the other was against league leaders. So I'm not going to really hold too much against them. Ultimately, Melbourne Victory are the better team in this spot. And 2.8, I think it is, for the straight up win. I was a little loose with my banker qualifications. So per Gordo's outsider requirements, this doesn't quite meet the 2-1, but I figured, I mean, this is Australia. This is a Melbourne derby. It'll be cagey, but both sides are more than capable of scoring. And I think the big issue for City is they lost so many players, key players in the midfield and in attack. They still have Jamie McLaren, which is never a bad thing, but the guys I'm actually looking at are going to be Bruno Fornaroli for Melbourne Victory. He's just been insane this season. He's scored 14 goals in like 8 matches, at least 12 goals. And Arslan, one of the new signings for City. He's got goals in 3 straight matches and 4 of his last 5. You could go Damian McLaren. So I think that's kind of where the both teams to score comes into play. But ultimately, I'm expecting Victory to go up at least 3-1. And then the City might come back to 3-2. But I don't think Victory are going to give this away. And this should be a convincing win for Victory. I know this is a pretty long-winded write-up, but ultimately I'm looking at 3-2 Victory. You can get that at 20-1 for the ultimate spice. We're following our shot here. 3-2 Victory with Bruno Fornaroli and Arslan on the score sheet. You can throw in McLaren as well and a Fornaroli brace, but
you're getting more deranged.
We'll keep things sensible.
You're moving to the real deranged part here.
Things are getting a little unhinged. It's my inner greedy bastard coming out. But no, Melbourne Victory win plus both teams to score. I have a hard time seeing Victory keeping a clean sheet in the spot, but ultimately they should have more than enough quality to really just blow this Melbourne City side out of the water. And they was looking at the outrights, and they were, I think, 3.75 or something for to win the league. not a bad shout, because assuming they win this game, that price will be a lot shorter. So this is eventually we got there. Melbourne victory, win plus both, score at 4.6.
There you go then. So three outsider picks: a draw between Wolverhampton Wanderers and Chelsea, a draw between Verona and Cagliari, and a Melbourne victory with both teams to score in the Melbourne derby. So Melbourne victory and yes in that market. If you fancied combining them all as a treble, it's 56.89 to 1. So you're getting really big odds on that. And I'll be taking it as a Trixie. So we only need 2 out of 3 to return a profit. Okie doke, onto the charity. We hit 2 in a row and then had a stumble last week. So we're back to the treble format. Pick from each of us, £10 of our own money on it. All the proceeds, all the returns, should it be victorious, will go to a charity we'll announce on the next show. To mimic Gordon, let's have a little bit of Shakespeare and see if you can find the word that I've added in here twice. I swear again, I would not back Queen's Park for all the world. Weep not, sweet Queen's Park, for trickling tears are in vain. We're backing against Queen's Park. There's a little bit of Hamlet for everyone. Queen's Park v Dundee United, Friday, 7:45 p.m. in the Scottish Championship. Dundee United's fans not happy with performances of late. It was the reason I backed Raith Rovers against them last week. They've now given up top spot in the league, with a loss in that game, but this should be the perfect spot to bounce back. The main criticism is that we're not attacking enough and we're not creating enough chances because we're not putting out enough of an attacking lineup in order to be direct and really take the games to teams, playing out too much from the back. But this is a game that we can, that Jim Goodwin can really go at and be a bit more direct, because Queen's Park are now 12 games in a row without a win. So he can try and silence some of those critics by going after this one. Dundee United, they're still having an excellent season. They're second in the table, 34 points from 15 games, scored 34 goals and only conceded 7. But Queen's Park are really struggling this year. They're dead last. It's a 10-team league, so they're in 10. They've only taken 13 points from their 15 games, scoring 19 but conceding 32 goals. The sides have played each other twice recently. Before that, you have to go back to like 1999, but they've played twice since 2022. Dundee United have won both those games 4-1, albeit they were both games at Tannadice, both home games for Dundee United. The trip to Hampden shouldn't faze them here. So this game is played in the National Stadium, the 60,000-seater National Stadium, Joey, that you've been in. We'll host Queen's Park, Dundee United, and a crowd of them.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah, ridiculous, I know. So, you know, we'll take a decent travelling crowd down on the Friday night before Christmas, but they'll be, like, less full. Queen's Park, they've only taken 5 points from seven home games in the league so far. Dundee United have picked up 19 points from 10 to perform a wee bit better away from home when we're not the team that has to, play in front of the home crowd and do the passing and take the game to the other team. So I hated United last week. I really like them to pick up a win here this week, and they're 11-20 to do so.
Nice. And that is the shortest away game that you can physically go to until Dundee United play Pollock in the Cup, I assume.
Yeah, physically for me, yeah, I can walk to Hampden. Glorious. What a day I'll have. Big day out tomorrow, Thursday, and then just straight back on it on Friday in the evening game away at Queen's Park. It's going to be great times. Great times.
Glad you've done that wine training for yourself.
So, I know.
I'll move us to slightly more cultured surroundings for this, and Sampdoria. So this is a game in the Italian Serie B. We'll take a step down the division, and a game that's at the start of the season I wouldn't know what to do with. Right now it's very, very clear what's happening. So Sampdoria have dropped down. They got relegated last season. They had an awful start to this season. Like, they looked like they might get relegated again, and then they remembered that they have some of the best players in the second division, and then decided to play like a team that had just came out of Serie A. Feralpi Salo, the team that they're playing against, just got promoted at Serie C, which is so hard, by the way, because there's like 30 leagues that you get. Serie D seems like a kind of Royal Rumble competition where there's like 19 divisions and like you're based in your regional standings. You go into like an end of season tournament. But yeah, Sampdoria, I've started the season very poorly, but I've turned it around massively. So they're second in the form table. They've taken 12 points from the last five games. Feralpi Salo have taken 4 points from the last five games. Feralpi Salo are dead last in the league. They've been pretty poor. They've taken obviously 10 points from their 17 games. Again, theme of the kind of banker and charity for us, 12 goals scored, 31 conceded, exactly the same. Again,
so leaky
at the back. Sampdoria doing a bit better in there, having an exactly zero goal difference of 21 scored, 21 conceded, but they've done a lot more of their 21 scoring in the last few weeks than their 21 conceding. If you look at them at home, they've won their last four games on the spin, beating Lecco, Spezia, Palermo, and Cosenza. For Alpi Salo's away form, not good. Over the last five, taking 2 points out of their last five games, and they came against teams that they'll be kind of duking out with at the bottom. These teams have never played each other competitively. They've only played in preseason friendlies. So the not really worth. There's been one. They've played three times with Sampdoria at home. One Sampdoria win, one Sampdoria loss, one draw. So nothing you can take from that. But yeah, they could have easily been a banker. They're 3-5 for me. You know now why they're not a banker.
Love it. No, I love it. You missed an opportunity for another wee Shakespeare quote there, though.
I only did one at Standard Grade, mate. That was it. I only know the one.
Oh, but yay.
What quote could I have had? You
fuck you, you suck. Which I believe was from The Merchant of Venice.
Oh, why? Was that in there, yeah?
I think so. It's been a while since I read it. But you know, maybe one of our listeners would glad to buy that. You know? I think that's word for word.
Thanks. Joey, how are you rounding out the charity treble?
Bit of paraphrasing, yeah. No, the only reason why that's not a banker for you, Gordon, is because you don't dream big enough.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not being drawn in by that 0.07% over my numbers.
Do you remember when John Walker backed over 0.5 goal kicks in a game once?
It was 1 to 30?
No, it's 1 to 500.
Talk about an overcompensation. Yeah, that's. I mean, hey. And to be fair, that is the bankerest of bankers, I guess. Incredible market that you can actually bet on that, though.
It's when you hope that both teams play absolute total football and have no, like, it's just like,
just play a game and keep away, yeah.
Exactly.
just passing it back and forth. Nothing to see here. No, so my portion of the charity treble, so rounding things out, I'm going to be in England again in the Premier League for Fulham hosting Burnley. And so this is on Saturday at 3 p.m. And you can get the home win at 1.7-ish. It was at 6-9 earlier, but it's kind of started drifting up a little bit, which I'm not mad about in the slightest bit. 11th place Fulham host second bottom Burnley. And this is another good spot to just fade Burnley. So while this is a fade of Burnley, more than anything, Fulham have actually been really solid lately, winning four of their last six matches overall. And they've been brilliant at home with seven wins in their last nine home matches. Granted, one of those being a win in the cup where it was technically level at halftime and or at full time, and then they won in penalties. But I won't hold that against them. That counts as a win in my book. Burnley, they picked up a good 1-1 draw in their last away match versus Brighton. But they had lost six of their last seven away matches prior to that. So Fulham have scored 3+ goals in three of their last four home matches, winning 5-0 in back-to-back home matches, while Burnley have conceded 3 goals in 3 of their last 6 away matches, losing by 2+ goals in 6 of their last 11 away matches overall. I'm fully expecting Fulham to score at least 3 goals, and I don't think Burnley can really keep up with that. They might get one goal by chance, because I was technically looking at this as a potential win plus both to score outsider. But I think we found better value in that Melbourne derby. Ultimately, I'm expecting a very convincing win for Fulham, and this should be as straightforward as it gets.
Nice one.
I love it. There we go. There's a charity treble for us all then. Wins for Dundee United, Sampdoria, and Fulham would turn £10 into £42.16 at Bet365. So hopefully, Gordo, you will be able to announce on next week's show over 40 quid going to a charity of your choosing. That is it for this week's podcast. If you did fancy the 12-fold, it's the mega, all the picks, 6,575 to 1.
Always over, fancy the mega.
Over 30 grand for a fiver. Oh, yeah. It will happen one day. We got one away, albeit there were only two of us 2 weeks ago, but we got one away. Let's try and hit the full 12.
Why not now?
So yeah. Wonderful, gents. Anything that you would like to say before we wrap up this rather festive Christmas edition of the Trample Bet podcast?
I think probably, did you mention your darts thing in the middle section or did you mention it at the start? Because I think it's probably worth pointing out that you had a ridiculous shout in the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Join the Facebook group, guys. Yeah, we did. We had a really, really good...
Chris Kelly as well with Lundstrom.
We had a really good weekend. Lundstrom in play to be booked was a fantastic shout, 3-1. So I got on that. And then Manlock Leung against Van Veen in the darts, I put it up at 9-1. He threw away 11 set darts in the second set and went up to 18-1. And I know a few people got on him then. And then, boom, there he was. So a couple of big winners in the Facebook group. Get involved, add in your own shouts, have a chat with us. And our listeners, we're over 300 people in the group now, so great place to be involved in with other like-minded sports betting pals. All good? Beautiful. I think that's us. We're ready for Christmas. Guys.
Only thing I'd add would just be Merry Christmas to everyone, but yeah.
Sure
that was coming at the back end of this.
Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Hope you have an absolutely it's always a wee bit scant on actual Christmas Day for sports betting opportunities, so it'd be nice to see in the Facebook group what anyone's bet on Christmas Day itself. Maybe get some sort of coupon on the go, you know, in honor of the little baby Jesus.
Exactly. It tends to be a lot of the Middle Eastern games that kick off as well. You generally get like some lower league I think it was Iraq a couple of years ago, or was it Iran that we had like?
I think it might have been Iran.
Where Persepolis were playing someone. Like we were like, anyway, go in and have a look. It's always good to see the 9 games that are on Christmas Day.
Wonderful, and enjoy the darts as well. It's a great time between Christmas and New Year for the darts. We will be back next week as always for next week's show. The way that Christmas has fallen this year is actually quite good for the podcast. We get to keep to our regular schedule. So we'll see you next week. Have a wonderful Christmas, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Good luck for the weekend. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon, and Gary Black, part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.